Our text, as I said this morning, or for this morning's message, is from that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Dear friends in Christ, there's a story about a little boy who wanted more than anything else in the world for Christmas, he wanted a bicycle. And his parents got him a bicycle for Christmas. But Dad was a little bit of a practical joker. So he got this box that was big enough for a bicycle, and he wrapped it up and put it next to the tree. And the boy comes down from, on Christmas morning. He sees the box on Christmas Eve, and he goes, I know, I got a bicycle. Sees the box on Christmas Eve, and he comes down, and he opens the box, and he cries out, I got nothing, nothing at all. Whereupon, of course, the father wheels in the bicycle and gives him a surprise. But that experience of nothing, that idea about nothing, helps us to understand the scriptures that we're hearing today. You see, God finds us in nothingness, if you will. Hebrews actually tells us that the world wasn't created out of the things that are seen, that it was created out of nothing. The Latin phrase the theological phrase we hear is ex nihilo, out of nothing. It was created out of nothing. Literally, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And this nothingness is really kind of a perfect picture of the state that you and I are in apart from God's gracious activity in our lives. Because we're actually nothing in sin. We're nothing in our fallen condition. When we sin, there's nothing we can do to get out of it. See, we're unable to please God without Christ in our fallen condition. We're unable to do what is righteous in our fallen condition. We're actually unable to prevent our death because of the sin that's in our lives. We're unable to prevent it because of our fallen condition, because of our sin. Even the Old Testament saints mentioned in Hebrews, they're great big nothings. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Noah, Enoch. I mean, think about it. Abel, he wasn't a strong hero. He didn't do anything miraculous or save anybody or do anything like that. He was, the only thing we know about Abel is that he brought his sacrifice to God. It was acceptable to him. And then Cain murdered him. That's pretty much all we know about Abel. He was pretty much a nothing. Enoch is commended not for his achievements, but because God took him out of the earth. That's the only thing we know about Enoch. I mean, literally, one verse about Enoch is all. That's all we know about him. Noah was an heir of righteousness. He was somebody who actually inherited and received his goodness. It wasn't his own righteousness. It didn't belong to him. He didn't earn this righteousness by his good works. And Abraham literally had nothing. He wandered in a land that wasn't his own. And he didn't own anything himself when God called him. God called each of these people out of nothingness. Just like he calls us out of nothingness into faith in Christ and in God. We know that the universe was created out of nothing by the Word of God. The universe did nothing in and of itself in order to help itself be created. It's not like the universe said, I'll let God create me now. It's out of nothing that God created it. Actually, by his very word, God spoke and it was done. I always like Luther. Luther, in his commentary on Genesis, in his sermons on Genesis, said something I've used many, many times. You probably have heard it before. When God speaks, he doesn't speak as you or I speak. When God speaks, he speaks reality into existence. So when God says, let there be light, light happens. When God says, let there be land, land happens. And when God says, I forgive you all your sins are forgiven. Forgiveness happens. See, the nothingness that received the word of God there at the very beginning, that's what happened. Out of nothing, this nothingness received God's word and it came into being. This is actually a picture of coming into faith. God calls us by his word. And we don't do anything but hear that word and receive that word. The proclamation that Christ died for our sins is delivered to us and pulls us out of the nothingness of sin into a new life. The story of Abraham actually shows that this faith results, it actually results in good works and in obedience. Abraham was a nothing. So was Sarah. They didn't even know where they were going. Abraham walks and he says, okay. God calls him and says, I want you to go to a new land. And Abraham says, all right. And he goes. Because of God's word and faith in that word, Abraham obeyed. That faith led Abraham to obey, to follow God's calling. He left his homeland, went to Canaan, and he lived in tents, basically. He didn't build a city. He didn't do anything like that. He lived in tents. And that obedience was a result of faith in the word of God given to him. See, God's word actually pulled Abraham out of his nothingness into a new life. And that new life involved obedience and new good works following God. Same thing happens with you and me. God actually calls us to follow him to the promised land. Each Old Testament saint is shown as following God and being commended. Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. They're commended for their faith and their trust in God. And this faith leads them to follow God in righteousness and obedience. Each one finally gets to the end of his journey and receives peace and eternal joy. Abraham, in particular, his earthly journey is a picture of the journey that everybody who lives by faith goes through. Because we have nothing of our own to show God. We don't have any righteousness in and of ourselves. I mean, Scripture even tells us, there is none righteous, not even one. That's what it says. None of us is righteous on our own. Yet God calls us by the gospel, and he gives us new life. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we live that new life by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We follow our Lord to the promised land of heaven. And now, of course, we are, as the writer to Hebrews says, we are strangers and exiles, and we find our home in the eternal presence of God who has guided us through this life. The thing about it is, brothers and sisters, we still mess up. We're not perfectly righteous. Brothers and sisters, we are not perfect at all, unless you want to call us perfectly sinful. We still mess up. We still fall short of God's glory. We still don't know everything there is to know, which is why we come and ask God's forgiveness on a regular basis. which is why in 1 John it says, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that dual nature within us. We are saint and sinner at the same time. We see it in all of these people that are commended for their faith. Abraham believed and it was commended, it was counted to him as righteousness. And yet he still messed up occasionally. He still messed up every once in a while. Moses messed up. We all sin. And yet God has sent his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word by whom all things were created. As it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Christ himself was with God from the beginning and in the beginning, and because of that, he is the Word through whom all things were created. And he is the Word through whom you and I are saved. Because when the Word died on that cross, when Christ himself died on that cross, he paid for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. Does that mean we don't sin? Of course we do. But what it means is that we have God's forgiveness for that sin. So, I mean, think about it. God gives us these wonderful, great, and beautiful gifts that we might go forth and bring his message to our daily lives. God chooses imperfect vessels to bring his word into the lives of others. Imperfect vessels like me and you. But it's his Holy Spirit that does the work in the hearts of others. Nothing's a pretty bad place to be. It really is. Having nothing, well, that's not any fun. And being a nothing is even worse. But we have a God who out of nothing has created a better place for us. He's created a promised land. In fact, he calls the entire universe into being out of nothing. And as if anything could be more incredible than that, God calls you and me, he calls us out of nothing to trust in his promises and to follow him into that promised land, knowing that all our sins are gone for the sake of Christ, and that full joy awaits us in the end. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes